Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Some designated exceptions, including for air crews, diplomats, immediate family members of Canadian citizens, and at this time, U.S. citizens.
Well, thank goodness. We thought Trudeau was going to throw us under the bus, so to speak, but the Canadian Prime Minister saying he's closing the borders, you just heard. But Americans, don't worry. Even though we have to isolate, don't panic, because you can still make that trip across the border, perhaps if you want to. So how about that? The rapid rise of cases in the U.S., all of that, the two economies related, joined at the hip in some cases, depending on what we're talking about trade-wise. The U.S. accounts for 75% of the country's exports, so for goodness sake, we really had to be able to cross over, right? And the thing we know with Trudeau is his wife tested positive for COVID-19. So he understands the severity of it, obviously. And the question becomes, should we close the borders to all non-residents during the coronavirus outbreak? There has been some discussion behind the scenes I've heard on this. But we'll see, because we know with the whole Europe quarantine and the fact that the flights not going in between the two, we saw people rushing to get out of there, Americans, to get out of Europe. So each day this plays out in so many, 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 many different ways. And we've had so much happen here in these United States. And of course, one of the big things that happened, we got to talk about the financial aspects of this. The Dow plunged 3,000 points almost. The Fed intervened, but it didn't do anything. Their injection didn't help. So the U.S. markets went very deep red on the fear of this COVID-19 and shed about 12% from the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. So that's where we are. It's disruptive. There's no question about it. And scary, the president today warned that the disruption from the virus, this pandemic, could last through August, and issued new public health guidance saying Americans should limit gatherings to no more than 10 people. He defended, when he was asked by reporters, he defended his handling of the crisis, which, of course, was marred by the slow rollout of testing, saying that we've done a fantastic job. I think the big question is how did the testing get stalled? The flawed tests, the crazy resistance to using the millions of tests produced by the World Health Organization, the red tape, all that, and I'm sure that will get looked into. Casinos are asking Congress for emergency aid because it's crushing the industry and they're closing casinos. You know, think of any industry, you could make a list from A to Z, and in some ways, it's probably being affected by it. You know, and you know that old saying about the rich get richer? Jeff Bezos needs no more money. He is the king of the United States. He sits on a pile of cash that is so giant. Of course, he employs a lot of people, and now is asking to employ more people, asking more people who want jobs to come work for Amazon. Why? Because delivery is big. Since we're having restaurants shut down and bars shut down and everything else where people would gather, you have delivery of the items that you need. I've said this years and years ago. If you didn't think it was big and going to get bigger, just drive around your neighborhood and look for those Amazon trucks and packages. And I don't care where you live, you will see it. A lot of famous people have gotten COVID-19. Many more probably will. The good thing is they're out there telling people to take social responsibility. We need to take each other, take this serious and take care of each other and do the social distancing thing. You had Donovan Mitchell, who talked about what was so scary about the virus, and I thought this was worth mentioning right here at the top. He's a superstar for the Utah Jazz. Is under normal circumstances, he feels excellent. He said, I could walk down the street if I wasn't sick, and you're fine, you seem to be fine, you never know who you might be talking to. And then he tested positive for COVID-19, which, of course, has closed schools and businesses across the world. And he found out about it last week, hours after his Utah Jazz teammate, Rudy Gobert, also tested positive, and the NBA suspended the season, of course, after that. So a lot of dominoes are falling. Idris Elba, the actor who's been in so many things, including The Wire, et cetera, he made an announcement that he tested positive for COVID-19, and he is, of course, telling people to take it seriously, was stunned that he tested positive for it, and said to, be diligent about what you're doing and where you're going and all that sort of thing. And where does this all head is the big question mark that we cannot answer. I've talked to so many different kinds of people, scientists, others who are on the cutting edge of this, people who have been investigating it since November. And the one thing we know, we can talk about what we've seen and patterns in other countries, and we can talk about flattening the curve, but it is a health emergency. It is a health crisis. And this is the kind of things we're seeing. The restaurant closures, all of that. Congress trying to break a logjam and get a relief package going, and one that will help so many people who are going to be struggling and are already struggling. You had the Ohio governor who called off the election because of the health emergency, and then a judge walked that back, and then they said no again because too many people would gather. So we're seeing a disruption to politics. And to me, when you look at the primary states and how they're handling it, some are changing it, some already have so many votes already out there, they feel like they'll be fine. And, what's the scientific community saying? You hear one scientific organization say that, they could be just weeks away and they could help thousands and thousands of people. But an actual vaccine is about a year away. And then the president with his timeline, where he said Americans should be and could be hunkered down and practicing social distancing till at least July or August because of the coronavirus. And that is scary. So I think in our minds we were thinking May, we were thinking June, and now we're thinking something completely different because we're watching the numbers soar. 80 dead so far in the United States, 4,000 cases of COVID-19. The good news, many people are self-quarantining. They're getting through it, and they're talking about it and how the symptoms just all of a sudden pop up on you, and that is the scary part of this. We're going to Australia to talk to a man who's written such an interesting book. Chris Phillips coming up with us next.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a one-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports, too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Author's Corner, Chris Phillips. He's on the other side of the globe for some of you because he's in Australia, in fact, in Adelaide right now, and that's where he's from. And he's written a book called The Gift of Eternal Life and Pleasures and Pain, the series. And I'll tell you what, this is a can't-put-it-down book. I'm really, really serious. 50-year psychologist. He's been to 36 countries, I'm sure, plus. What can he teach us? A lot. That's what I found out when we had our preliminary conversation. Chris, thanks for coming on.
Oh, look, it's a pleasure, Kate. It's wonderful to have the chance to be able to speak across the world like this, especially at such a critical time.
Yeah, so let's talk about what made you decide that you were going to write this book.
Well, you'd have to say that my early training as a psychologist didn't prepare me very well for being one. I found that people were far more complex and much more wonderful beings, and I needed to have a different way of looking at them, because when I started talking to people, and I've now talked to thousands, of course, and they've informed me of their life stories, it's given me a perspective that I wanted to share, and that's really been the drive in this book. And particularly, I was concerned about the early work of some wonderful psychologists like Carl Jung and Adler and, of course, Sigmund Freud, but they had such a profound effect on early psychology that I was really at a loss to know how to understand them and what they were really trying to say, particularly Jung. And as I was telling you, Kate, a little while ago, the work by Jung of Alchemical Studies was a book I read a total of 7 times before I really got a grip on it. And that, of course, is about archetypes. And they're so critical to our understanding of our lives. And they've been a concern, of course, many, 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 many centuries before that. I mean, you can actually go back to the ancient Chaldeans in about 2,500 years BC to look at the work that was done in those early days trying to understand human purpose. And that, of course, is what this book is really about. And the first part of the book, Psyche, actually uses that ancient Chaldean method of looking at your path. And I was given a lot of help by material that I already had in my possession when archetypes, when I was working on what are archetypes and what are they really saying to us, and, you know, are they just mischievous lot that are fighting each other all the time? And that's what it looks like if you look at Greek legends and traditions like that. But as it turned out, they work on a cartel of cooperation in pretty much the same way that genes work with each other. This vast knowledge that archetypes have got that is literally our heritage as human beings. And the story of Psyche, the actual Greek legend of Psyche, is a beautiful little story about how a human being becomes eternal. And she has a whole lot of trials and tribulations and difficulties in her life. And she overcomes them and is finally given the gift of eternal life, which is something that we later find out in the work by the archetypes is in fact confirmed by them. So it's been a fascinating journey, Kate, to come to this, and particularly the lack of accurate information about archetypes, the fact that it was all just legend and people's imagination, was a major driving force for me in looking for a better way forward.
I love that. A better way forward. That's a perfect place to continue this. By the way, you can get Chris Phillips' book, The Gift of Eternal Life, Pleasures and Pain, the series on Amazon. So when we talk about archetypes, people listening, they're thinking, their minds going, oh, archetypes, I remember when I was in school, or, you know, give us just a little snippet of an archetype.
Wow.
Tell us an archetype.
It's not easy
you know
to give you a little snippet, Kate. You're asking me to summarize 40 years of work.
No. But, you know, there's different archetypes. There's 10 archetypes. You talk about 10 archetypes. So just what is tell us an archetype. I know they're all different. Yes, absolutely. It would be more than PBS could even do in an entire year. I agree. But so what people understand what it is. Flush that out a little bit more.
All right. Here's one that you won't expect. Did you ever hear about Odin, the one-eyed deity of Nordic tradition?
No. Tell us that story.
Oh, well, you see, not only have Europeans had long traditions, but also Native Americans have had long traditions too. Like Great Spirit is a classic for North American Indians. They go on a vision quest in order to communicate with Great Spirit. And the vision quest itself is that journey to find the archetype who is controlling all aspects of your life, because, as they say, Great Spirit is everywhere and in everything. Now, here's a fascinating part of that. When I started working with the archetypes and the dream statement analysis process that I had worked out over those 40 years, Great Spirit comes out very much like oxygen, absolutely vital to life, and combines with nearly all of the other elements.
Mm.
So there's some really deep-seated and quite profound information even just in that notion of how we could think about Great Spirit in our lives, that it's, well, it's as essential as oxygen.
Wow,
and,
essential as oxygen.
A lot of us don't have enough oxygen at the moment.
Right. You're right about that. And of course, making the reference to the coronavirus and what we're seeing and people being afraid and all of that. And that's also part of the journey, your path, and people coming to you and wanting answers. We want answers, don't we?
Yes, Kate. Look, this is absolutely central to every single person on the planet. And it's really lovely to be able to think of it perhaps in more broad terms and see that the gift of eternal life and the way in which archetypes actually think about us as human beings, they don't use the term soul, because at one stage I was actually thinking of calling this soul journeys. But they don't think of us as a soul. Their notion of us and the words they actually use are sanctitas vestra. And that's a term that normally refers to the Pope. And it means your holiness.
Wow.
So we need to see that we are really illuminated beings in our core, and we need to be able to touch that and bring that forward, particularly in a time like this with coronavirus around, because you attract to you what you are. So if you're negative, then you're going to attract more negativity, unfortunately. And if you're more positive and you're looking to your holiness, you're going to be attracting better things that are more likely to be beneficial to you in your life and in your path overall. So my suggestion to people at the present time is look to your light side, look to your highest values, not your lowest values. Think about others and look at that cartel of cooperation that we need between ourselves in our lives.
Oh boy, no kidding. Chris, can you hang on? We want to continue the conversation, okay?
Certainly.
Perfect. Stay with us, everybody. We'll be back with more of Chris Phillips next on the show.
And get on the beat. Trying to be right, I'm looking for the safest string to pull. I'm looking for a place to stay the night till the clouds start to roll or the sickness takes.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him, his addiction. I haven't seen him like this ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
I think that we've done a fantastic job from just about every standpoint. With that being said, no matter where you look, this is something, it's an invisible enemy.
An invisible enemy. That's how President Trump characterizing the coronavirus. At the White House briefing, the president outlining a new series of coronavirus guidelines. The two-page list called 15 Days to Slow the Spread. It advises Americans to avoid eating out in restaurants and to avoid social gatherings with no more than 10 people. The president asked about the potential for restrictions on domestic travel.
Hopefully we won't have to do that, but it's certainly something that we talk about every day. We haven't made that decision.
As for the stock market, the largest sell-off ever on Wall Street in one day, with the Dow down almost 3,000 points on coronavirus fears. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesce. The Luminesce anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Talking about The Gift of Eternal Life. That's the book he's written, Pleasures and Pain, the series. And we were relating, Chris, the Sanctitas Vestra and the idea of the holiness, your holiness, and the time period that we're in, and that cartel of cooperation that you talked about that I think is so vital, because there is that little pithy saying that some people use, and I used to think, oh, that's just another one of those bumper sticker sayings, but you what you put out there is what you attract, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's exactly right. You do put that. If you put it out in a negative way, you're going to get back the negativity, that's for sure.
And so that's the idea, is in your book you talk about that, and that's also taking us through that, you know, eternal life, the gift of eternal life. When you sat down and you poured into this, I can imagine what a project that was. What was your biggest takeaway for you? What was just, wow, I can't believe it?
um, Well, I've got to say the archetypes don't think very much of me. and they were pretty unimpressed with some of my life failures, you could say, and they point them out in no uncertain terms. So that was possibly some of the hardest parts in the book to write too, which was to be completely honest, because I said I was going to be honest when I started the project, and I had to stay faithful to that, which includes telling where my faults are as a being as well. So that's a bit of a challenge sometimes. You don't like to think of yourself in those sorts of terms, but yeah, you do have to face your dark side, I'm afraid. And you grow through that.
That's what I was going to say. When you face your dark side and people that you've counseled, people that have come to you for help and the whole year that those decades that you've been a psychologist and wanting the answers, that's part of it. You have to do the work, don't you?
You do. Yeah, you do, Kate. And it's also a thrill to have that honesty and that truth between two people, you know, and I feel it with you actually too. We actually know each other in a way that is really, really profound. Now this is where the whole point about it, the series, Pleasure and Pain, comes in. When I met my current wife, Ashlyn, we actually started writing down the funny things that happened to us. And she recorded at one stage the words that she didn't know why she felt that she knew me so completely. She was staggered that she could virtually say, I know this person. I've only known them for such a short time, but I actually know this person. And it was her good fun and her sense of humour. And she's a very deep thinking person too. Well, she also lectured at university level, so she's no slouch. And her lovely personality won me over. And I found that under the Chaldean wisdom path system, she was a warrior. And that's a absolutely classic thing, because that happened such a long time ago, 15 years ago, that I found out she was classified as a warrior. And yet only 10 years ago, we then found out that she had Huntington's disease.
Mm.
Which is really what the third book in that series is about, in The Gift of Eternal Life. The third book is And I Always Will. And it's really about Ashlyn's struggle with Huntington's disease and the really courageous efforts that she's made. And we've tried, Kate, to put into practice this dextro thinking, and having a positive approach, even though there are no medical options for the treatment of Huntington's disease, and it is fatal and has a 20-year cycle, and there are estimated in the States alone over 700,000 people with Huntington's disease, and no medical options, no medical treatments, no... nothing other than give them a little pill to make them a bit happier and cheer them up a bit, antidepressant.
Right.
And that's a pretty hopeless prognosis to give somebody, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Ashlyn's medication each day is 2 Aspro and 1 tiny antidepressant. And the rest of it we've had to do ourselves. We've had to invent a program for her, and it's been successful, I might say. She's actually held her own for 2 years. It's Huntington's is a neurological degenerative disease, so the brain breaks down bit by bit. You lose control of your body functions, including your normal day-to-day,
bathroom habits and whatnot.
That's right.
Yeah.
And your life goes to pot. And she falls over, or she was falling over a lot, which is inevitable that it's going to lead to a serious break, and she had 3 months in hospital at one stage. But with so many people suffering from this disease, I thought that I should put that together, which is why it's called a series, Pleasure and Pain, the series, because it's very, very, very painful to watch your loved ones suffer as they do suffer with this disease, and she's gradually losing her ability to speak, but she can still think, so you know that there's a person trapped inside there. It's not like Alzheimer's or dementia. Here, the person's fully functioning underneath that cloud, you could say. But occasionally you see little flickers of life, and you know that the person's still there, and the person that you loved and have supported is battling on. And she's been a very brave person to do that. And her neurologist has been in awe of her painting. And now I'm saying this deliberately. Ashlyn never took art classes before. But she paints like a wonder person. She has got a most beautiful output. Not high, just very low, but she's very capable artist. And it gives her a great sense of satisfaction. And the neurologist is saying that this is increasing the neuroplasticity in her brain. Now, again, you'd think, okay, well, you've got the diagnosis of Huntington's disease. You may as well pack it in, and a lot of people do. But there it is. Years and years later, she's still coping. She's still producing competently. She leads a happy life as far as it's possible to do so. I take her out 4 times a week. And that includes her various appointments. We've got her sorted into getting regular massage because bodily control and moving properly is really critical component of her life. So, you know, keep going, folks. Don't give up.
Yep, I like that advice. Because you're living through it, and what a beautiful way to take us through that story. We have a minute or so left, and, you know, Chris, so again, you can pick up the book, The Gift of Eternal Life, Pleasures and Pain, the series on Amazon. What do you hope people take away from reading this?
Oh, heavens, Kate, I think the very first thing they need to do is get a better sense of just what a wonderful soul we all have. What a wonderful thing it is that we've been given. And I'm not talking in a religious sense here. I'm talking in a deeply spiritual sense. And in the same way that Socrates and Plato were discussing it at the time that Socrates was being required to take hemlock, and that, of course, took his life. But he faced it with great dignity and certainty that the soul is eternal.
Perfect place to end this. Chris Phillips, The Gift of Eternal Life, Pleasures and Pain, the series. Pick it up on Amazon. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, Kate. Good luck to everybody, and be careful and be positive.
Down there.
shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
One, two, three, four. Wow, really pleased to have in our virtual green room, Sandro DiNello is the CEO of Flagstar. Wait till you hear about this. This year, over 200 CEO action signatory organizations took part in the second annual Day of Understanding. Now, it's an event that's been created by CEO Action for Diversity and Inclusion, and you know how I feel about that, to help address potential bias in the workplace and help foster a culture of inclusion and understanding. I'm going to throw in this little piece of research that's a great nugget. According to recent research, half of all diverse employees experience bias as part of their day-to-day work experience. So that's why CEO-driven coalition is hosting, you know, these tough conversations at their organizations anytime during the months of February they did it and March to engage in conversations to educate people and support inclusive workplace cultures. Topics can include D&I issues, race, gender, sexuality, to help foster greater understanding and appreciation of differences. And as I mentioned, Sandro DiNello is with us, and he's the CEO of Flagstar, and they are part of this, and they had that conversation in that day. Sandro, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure, Kate. Thanks for taking the time and shining a light on this. I appreciate it very much.
So what was your, as for lack of a better way to describe it, aha moment that really motivated you to join this coalition? What makes this coalition so unique to you?
Well, I've always thought that I was a very unbiased person. And when I first was approached by the organizers of the CEO Action for Diversity and Inclusion, it resonated with me right away that this made a lot of sense. And to actually do it in a thoughtful way within the organization to really find a way to get people to really believe that it was a safe workplace, to me made a lot of sense. And it was probably going to be a lot more difficult for us to do that on our own. And so getting this guidance and this sort of mentorship, if you will, from this organization was extremely helpful in helping me to just visualize how we could really advance this within our organization, because it requires the leadership at the top to get it going, but then it requires the people in the organization to really want to make it happen. And the CEO Action Group really made that a lot easier for our organization.
So you jump on board, you do this, and you had this happen just recently, like I'm going to say last week, where you pick a topic. Tell us what that was like for you and what kind of interaction did you see? So again, bravo that you're doing it, and what did you find?
Well, what our team decided was the topic to focus on was privilege, because most people don't really realize how privileged they are. I'm certainly one. I'm the son of Italian immigrants, and I view my upbringing as being very, very, you know, middle of the road, if you will. Always had what we needed, but I never felt privileged per se. But then I was handed this privilege exercise, and there's 28 questions, and I started to read them, and the idea here is check how many of these apply to you. And the first one is, the leader of my country is also a person of my racial group. Well, yes, I can check that one. When going shopping, I can easily find clothes that fit me. I can check that one. In public, I can kiss and hold hands with the person I'm dating. I can check that one. And I go down here and I can check all 28.
Wow.
Which means I'm very privileged.
Right.
And then I can think about other people while I'm going through this and the boxes that they wouldn't check. And then I begin to really realize the difference that I, in my life, versus the difference in other people's lives. And I can think about people that would go through this that I know that might only check 5 of these boxes. And then you realize, wow, this is powerful stuff. And we just don't think about that, right? We just don't think about it. And that's what this whole thing is about, is forcing us to understand what our unconscious biases are and doing something about it. Because most people would say, I'm not sexist, I'm not a racist, I'm not this, I'm not that. But yet there are things that they think about and the way they think that they don't even realize are sexist or are racist. And you got to shine a light on it in order to really understand how it's viewed by other people. So it's a beautiful thing if you figure it out, because I think, you know, here at our company, and we're certainly not where we need to be yet, because not everybody believes in this, but we're slowly but surely getting there. And we're doing what I believe is not only the right thing, but as I say to our team here, it's the smart thing to do, because if our people really believe that we care about them, no matter who they are, no matter how they think, no matter how they live their personal lives, they really believe that we care about that, they're going to care more about our company. And if they care more about our company, they're going to care more about the work that they do, their productivity, the quality of the work. And at the end of the day, we are going to be a better company because of it. I truly, truly believe that. And I think the successes our company has had, and we've been successful, I think, are in large part here to the fact that we are creating a safe workplace that people feel comfortable in.
So it's a great commitment by you and a great big step to be part of this group, for sure, the CEO Action. But how else do you, in trying to get there, how else does your company execute the CEO Action pledge commitments? How do you do that?
Well, look, the CEO Action Group, it facilitates things. You've got to make it happen in your organization. And the way it's happened in our organization is by making the real commitment to it. And so what's happened now is we have 9 employee resource groups at our company, and they represent different groups of interest, which range from young professionals to LGBTQ to veterans to women to Hispanics, Native American, Asian Indian. These are all groups where people come together that have similar interests, and then they share their interests with the rest of the organization. So we have days. We have days whenever there's a special day, like this is Women's Month, right? So we had a special event for women, and African American Month was last month, and we had a special event, and these things go on and on and on, and people get engaged with them, and now we have over 25% of our workforce of 4,500 that are engaged in one or more of our employee resource groups, and so we keep teaching people about different ways of life and different ways of thinking, and making it easier for them to understand why we're all different, but yet we can still work together. And it's a kind of thing that sort of gathers momentum. You know, it's that flywheel. Once it starts moving, it starts gathering momentum, and more people believe it. And if they believe that, you know, as a leader of the organization, you and your fellow executives at the company won't stand for any other way of thinking, people that don't believe in it will self-select out of the organization. And that's probably happening quietly, and I'm okay with that, right? Because we want to have people here that do believe in, really do believe in diversity and really do believe in inclusion.
Yeah, and along those lines, there's people listening to us that could certainly use this. What do you think the first step leaders can do, Sandro, in taking action in D&I in the workplace? I mean, you took the leap. What would you tell them the first step is that you should take?
Well, they have to sign the pledge. If you're the CEO or the owner of the company, sign the pledge. And the pledge now puts the onus on you to do the right thing. And so sign the pledge. Share that with your organization, and then find someone in the organization that you can tap on the shoulder to be the leader that's going to take this and run with it. And at first, it's going to be somebody who's got a full-time job, and they're going to take it as a part-time thing to do just because they believe in it so much. And then as the momentum builds, you'll actually then define a specific person whose only job is to advance the belief in diversity and inclusion in your organization. And the next thing you know, you've got people volunteering to start these employee resource groups, and you get executive sponsors for these groups, and it just keeps picking up steam.
I like that. It's the flywheel. So I do want to tell everybody CEO Action for Diversity and Inclusion is the largest CEO-driven business commitment, as we've been talking to Sandro about, to advance diversity and inclusion within the workplace, bringing together more than 900, this is powerful, CEOs representing more than 15 million employees and growing. So you can go to CEOAction.com to find out more. Sandro Dinella, CEO of Flagstar, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much, Kate. Appreciate you having an interest in this very important topic.
Long after you're gone, your heart keeps beating on.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.